Welcome to Flyover Conservative Podcast with David and Stacey Whited, where we break down current events and examine culture through the lens of conservative Christian values. Yay, welcome. We are so excited to be with you tonight. If you're new to Flyover Conservatives, our slogan is wake up, speak up, and show up. We all wanted President Trump to do 80 million things to save our country. And what we've learned over these last couple of years, what we really need is 80 million of us doing one thing every single day to save our own country. David, I feel so official. I feel like, you know, I don't know. I mean, look at all these papers. This is unbelievable. What are you going to talk about
crazy
tonight?
Shuffling work mode here. I feel like it's Alex Jones show or something like that. But we spent a lot of time last night, I think like a lot of you, excited and anticipating Tucker Carlson meeting with Vladimir Putin for a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. One, just because such a big character you hear so much about and you hear a little from. And so it's kind of an interesting thing. You know, we hear, you know, Zelensky comes and speaks in our Senate House floor and these things. Biden's not really even speaking with them. So there's not quotes from, you know, meetings that they're having. So it kind of leaves you in the dark a little bit. You're like, what are these people doing? And what do they think? So I was excited about it and anticipating it. And actually we have the whole transcript. We've been up looking at this thing and studying it, reading it even today. And for those of you, you know, we are kind of in a microwave society. We're in a reality show society. And like as Americans, you kind of like, I hope there's something big on there. There can be a video clip of, you know, whatever, you know, Biden doing something weird. They're going to have this revelation of this thing that nobody knew about. And I think what we actually need to sober up to a little bit is the reality. While we're kind of, you know, worried about, you know, Netflix and, and the Super Bowl and these things going on. And we have Yuval Noah Harari on our talk shows at night. And they say we're just basically in the future. People are going to just drink, have drugs and play video games. Like,
Useless eaters.
Like the rest of the world's kind of moving on, and they're very serious people and elected officials in other countries. A lot of them, it's a grind, and it's tough, and they have very real accountability, you know, with their citizens. And American politicians, they get there by being clever at chicken dinners and having nice teeth and nice hair, and they kind of, you know, well, listen, you know, you could be the senator of Oklahoma if you just say, oh, I'll help get rid of abortion or something, and you really don't care about it. You've learned how to get enriched in the process. Most of our political leaders, they've never done anything in their life. They've never laid in bed at night thinking, how am I going to meet payroll for my employees? You know, how am I going to get this done? How are we going to, we've got to get more of these parts in by Tuesday so that we can finish this by Friday. Like, they don't have those kind of concerns. They just concern about getting reelected. And it was just a stark contrast for me, you know, going through this again, looking at the kind of language that's used. It's like, I wish our politicians got to their position a little bit differently. I wish there was a higher.
What does that mean?
I wish there was a higher level of accountability.
Are you like you don't want to be in a communist place?
No, not at all. But the kind of person. The example that I used with you last night. I said I feel like in America, it's like an NFL. It's like if you watch the NFL, but the only way you could become an NFL coach is by spending 12 years in the ballet. And then they only hired people from the ballet to be the NFL head coaches.
It's like those things don't go together at all.
It'd be like, well, the players would be frustrated because you don't know anything about what it means to be an NFL player. You've never done this. You don't know anything about it. You got there because you kissed butt in some other area and you got this position.
But you're over people that have done those things and you can't relate with them.
And so we all kind of suffer the consequences of the economy and these things that are going and the infiltration
like
of our school
Trump
system.
So much?
Because he's a doer. That's why he rang true among doers. I mean, you look at the blue-haired TikTok crowd on Libs of TikTok and you look at the kind of people that show up at Trump rallies, there is a difference. And man, the thing that jumped out at me, and again, from reading this transcript, we got this provided for you. If you send us a text, we'll send this to you if you want to read this yourself or have it around.
You even highlighted it, I saw.
Yeah, it's kind of all tore up. You send us a text at 40509, the word Putin, P-U-T-I-N, because it's pretty easy to spell, 40509, the word Putin, and you can have a Dropbox link with this document there. But when these people are talking about finances, when they're talking about positioning, you know, he spent the first 30 minutes going through global history of nations, politics, the religions, mm-hmm. the geography of the last 1,000 years and how this happened, you know, a history lesson. And I'm like, on the same night, you know, Joe Biden's holding a press conference and he doesn't even know what's going on. So it's kind of frustrating when you look at the difference between the two. But I want to play one clip because it gets down to finances. And this is the mm-hmm. stuff that we need to learn. Okay, what are they doing? You say, well, I don't care. He's a terrible person, a dictator. I want to hear what he has to say. I don't know why, because Super Bowl and you hear news. If you were preparing for the Super Bowl and you had a chance to hear what the other coach was saying in the locker room, wouldn't you want to hear what he's saying? It's like you're ignorant to think, well, he's a bad guy. I don't want to hear anything. Nah, nah, nah. You know, like we have very serious people in other parts of the world that are leading it, and you're being controlled and manipulated by mainstream media in a clown show. Mm-hmm. We need to wake up, sober up like a bucket of ice water in our head and realize they have moved on and they're mm-hmm. making big decisions, and we need to be aware of what they are. And this one clip I want to play here really jumped out at me. And I want to kind of break down a few things. This is really important, and listen to it. And again, text 40509, the word Putin, and you can have a transcript of the whole thing yourself. But let's play this clip.
You know, to use the dollar as a tool of foreign policy struggle is one of the biggest strategic mistakes made by the U.S. political leadership. The dollar is the cornerstone of the United States power. I think everyone understands very well that no matter how many dollars are printed, they are quickly dispersed all over the world.
3%, примерно 3-4, что ли. Вот, приемлемо для США абсолютно.
Inflation in the United States is minimal. It's about 3 or 3.4%, which is, I think, totally acceptable for the US. But they won't stop printing. What does the debt of $33 trillion tell us about? It is about the emission.
Как только политическое руководство приняло решение использовать доллар в качестве инструмента политической борьбы.
Nevertheless, it is the main weapon used by the United States to preserve its power across the world. As soon as the political leadership decided to use the US dollar as a tool of political struggle, a blow was dealt to this American power. I would not like to use any strong language, but it is a stupid thing to do and a grave mistake. Look at what is going on in the world. Even the United States allies are now downsizing their dollar reserves. Seeing this, everyone starts looking for ways to protect themselves. But the fact that the United States applies restrictive measures to certain countries, such as placing restrictions on transactions, freezing assets, etc., causes grave concern and sends a signal to the whole world. What did we have here? Until 2022, about 80% of Russian foreign trade transactions were made in US dollars and euros. U.S. dollars accounted for approximately 50% of our transactions with third countries, while currently it is down to 13%. It wasn't us who banned the use of the U.S. dollar. We had no such intention. It was the decision of the United States to restrict our transactions in U.S. dollars. I think it is complete foolishness from the point of view of the interests of the United States itself and its taxpayers, as it damages the U.S. economy, undermines the power of the United States across the world. By the way, our transactions in yuan accounted for about 3%. Today, 34% of our transactions are made in rubles, and about as much, a little over 34% in yuan. Why did the United States do this? My only guess is self-conceit. They probably thought it would lead to full collapse, but nothing collapsed. Moreover, other countries, including oil producers, are thinking of and already accepting payments for oil in yuan. Do you even realize what is going on or not? Does anyone in the United States realize this? What are you doing? You're cutting yourself off. All experts say this. Ask any intelligent and thinking person in the United States what the dollar means for the US. But you're killing it with your own hands.
So we've been talking about these things for quite a while because we talk about the BRICS nations. We talk about how the world sort of moved on. And we got to go back to sanctions. When we put sanctions on Russia, what did we sanction? Well, we cut them off from having McDonald's. We cut them off from having Starbucks. We cut them off from having Pornhub. And you know what?
All things that we should get rid of here in the United States.
Hey, sanction us.
Yes, please do. We'd be better off.
You know, and they did pretty well. And on some of these things, some commodities that they were not able to get from other countries, like Swiss cheese, they started producing it and doing it themselves in Russia. And so that's more jobs for their people. But there's a very specific thing that they've been doing is stockpiling gold and silver as a backup reserve. And it's been happening for years. What the United States has, we've talked about it a million times. Everybody knows, you go back to Richard Nixon. When we removed ourselves from the gold standard, we used the oil as the backup thing to validate the currency. So we became the petrodollar and made the whole world use our dollar. Mm-hmm. And that works as long as every country trades in it. And I don't think we understand exactly how this works, but when Argentina sells oil to Italy, they do it in, the transaction takes place in US dollars up until Joe Biden. All those transactions took place that way. Russia, all the, and so let's look at a couple of quotes that he had in here. Until 2022, about 80% of Russian foreign trades and transactions were made in US dollars. US dollars accounted for approximately 50% of our transactions with third countries.
Wow.
So over half the trades they're doing, they were doing in dollars, some in euros. Well, currently it's down to 13%. So it was half of what they were doing. So every time, there's a lot of things in Russia that were not made in Russia. You know, you saw the clips of Tucker Carlson, you know, they're going around on social media, ways in Mercedes Benz, you know, vans driving around. They don't make Mercedes Benz in Russia. They're made in Germany. So when they buy those from Germany in the trade, it's all done in US dollars. Not anymore. And when he says this, he's like, does America even know this is happening? No, America doesn't know it's happening because our media controls this. And they're like, we're doing just fine. It's like the people on the Titanic. They're like, oh, this is all good. This is good.
And they're locking them in their basement.
The band is still playing and they're like, keep all the stupid people down there. And they lock the doors so they can't come up. And that is what's happening in our country. And this isn't like fear mongering. It's just, if it's a blizzard outside, you got to be smart. And if somebody's saying, no, wear sandals and a t-shirt, it's like, I don't know. I think it's snowing outside. I'm going to wear a coat. Mm-hmm. I've got to make decisions that aren't based on what the idiots in charge of our country are doing. This guy's just calling it out. And he's doing it in a taunting way. It's like, makes me sad that that's, you know, the truth, but we got to adjust. We put sanctions on these guys and it's kind of like parents with teenagers or something. And they're like, you can't play video games. You can't do this. But on the side, maybe the kid got a job and he's making $100,000 a year mowing grass or something. He's like, I don't need your video. I can buy my, and then they move out and they're just fine. Like the parents no longer have that kind of control to be able to manipulate. And that's what's happened under the Biden administration. He says, I think it is a complete foolishness from the point of view of the interest of the United States itself and its taxpayers, and it damages the U.S. Duh. The damages our economy. It undermines the power of the United States across the world, big time. By the way, our transactions in yuan, the Chinese currency, when Biden came into office, only 3% of Russian transactions were in Chinese currency.
Wow.
Today, 34% of their transactions are in Chinese currency. And so when you pull your fist out of a bucket of water, it doesn't leave a hole. We're like, well, you can't do these transactions. We cut off the SWIFT system. We cut off their ability to do transactions of the dollar. They just moved on and did something else. China was like, hey, open arms. Come here, sweetie. Let me give you a big hug because I'm available for you. And they just moved on and they're prospering. And we're just keep sending more money to Zelensky in Ukraine, thinking, oh, we're the good guys here. And you know what? Forget about the global stuff. That's what leaders are doing to take care of their people. If you have people, which I do because I've got wife and kids, I've got to make decisions the same way. So 34% of their transactions are happening in Chinese currency. Today, 34% of our transactions are happening in rubles. So they're now, they're using their own currency to do trades with India, their own currency trades with South Africa. When they're doing these international global deals, they're doing them in their own currency, and they're doing a lot of them in Chinese currency. So the way that they can protect this storm, we've been talking about this for a long time, but I want to put
a graph. I think this is from a year ago that
we were
talking about this.
Last July is when we did this first show on it. We did two Zero Hedge articles talking about the amount of gold being stockpiled by these BRICS nations. BRICS, it means Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. Mm-hmm. And they've now, January, added, they got 40 nations waiting to come in. They have high requirements. I'll tell you what the requirements are in a second. You have to have things. There's two things that are worth something. It's oil and gold and silver. You have to have precious metal or oil, because those are things, tangible things don't go down. The rest of it's Blockbuster stock. If you had 1 million shares of Blockbuster, what good does that do you right now? Does zero good, because it's all fake. Our dollars are fake. We're making more of them. When they put this thing together and say we're sending another $60 million to Ukraine, where does that come from? Mm-hmm. The government doesn't make money. They don't have a side hustle in the back and they're making, you know, a business to raise money. All the money, they just make it. It just comes from taxpayers, and they make more of it into existence.
Which eventually you have to pay the piper.
Well, they keep thinking it's not going to happen on their watch because, again, our election cycles. They think in 2 years and 4 year increments based on their spot. Look at this list of nations. These are tons of gold these nations have been accumulating. You got United Arab Emirates, Egypt, South Korea, Thailand, Hungary, Brazil. It goes on down the list. When you get down to the bottom to China and Russia, it takes up the whole screen. China and Russia have stockpiled gold in massive amounts by the tons of gold, not an ounce of gold's $2,000. They're stockpiling gold by the tons. That's why their economy is doing well, and so specifically Russia, even more than China, because China's got some debt issues with some of the land deals that they've done and Evergreen and so forth. But they're expanding outside their border, and they found new trade partners outside the United States, and they're doing deals with Russia, India, South Africa, and those countries. So that's what they're doing. And you look at that and you think, okay, if that's what the leader of a nation who takes his job seriously, and this isn't, oh, you like Putin, you don't like Putin, it's irrelevant. It even had a comment, it's not in the clip we have, where he mentions, he goes, the sun comes up and the sun goes down. You have to deal with what is. Mm-hmm. Indonesia is now one of the most powerful countries in the world. Like, I didn't know that. I couldn't find it on a map. They're doing really well. Indonesia is one of the fastest, largest growing economies in the world. U.S. used to be number one. We're not. China's number one. U.S. is number two. Russia, I think, is number five. Mm-hmm. And so what happens? Number five's doing most of their business with number one, and we're sitting over here, you know, worried if our president can make it through a press conference without messing his pants. Mm-hmm. It's silliness, and we manipulate and control the information cycle so people are not making decisions based on the reality of what is. You're just like, well, I still go to McDonald's and things are good, and I go to this and the Starbucks is. It's like it's all
propped up.
It's all consumption based economy. Go to a small town. What do they make? The number one employer in most small counties in America are hospitals and schools. They got jobs for young single women. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're not making it happen. We've got to do something different. We're 269 days from an election. I hope something great happens there. And I pray for God's favor. And I pray for America to turn back to God and start making better decisions personally. But
we could do something.
We have got to individually. Yep. David Whited's got to do something to take care of David Whited's wife, David Whited's kids. And if you're watching this, you've got the same responsibility. We've got to hear what is that other coach saying in the locker room and make decisions accordingly. If they're making adjustments, and they're saying, okay, we are cutting down debt and we're stockpiling into tangible assets, gold and silver, then maybe David Whited should be doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I am. We've heeded these warnings. And I implore you, Flyover family, find a way to start doing the same thing. It doesn't have to be in a big purchase. You don't have to do a ton of gold. But I know if you can, you know, good. An ounce of gold is $2,000. It's probably a lot. Silver, you can get silver for less than $25 an ounce. And then, you know, buy as many ounces as you want. This is something everybody can begin doing to hedge and protect yourself from what is happening. These people, these people here we're talking about, these people are serious and they're making moves to prosper in the new world, the way things are going. They're not thinking even globalist. They're thinking we're taking care of our country. And if you're thinking take care of your country, but your country is going to be inside the walls of your home, you've got to be doing the same thing. That's what I took out of last night. I thought, wow, we're sitting here jerking around and Republicans can't even agree if Mayorkas is doing a good job on the border. Mm. We got Republicans voting, no, Mayorkas is doing fine and they're supporting him. It's like so baffling. The inmates are running the asylum, but we can make decisions for our homes differently than those crazy losers that are in elected positions are doing.
And the way that you do that is we have a relationship with Dr. Kirk Elliott. We've known him for 25 years. He's someone that we trust. He's someone that we talk to for advice, investments. What do we do? And it's a relationship. You know, he can help you get into silver or gold at this time. And then if something changes, he can help you change to something else. It's been, he's two PhDs. He knows what he's doing. So to get a free consultation, it doesn't cost you any money whatsoever to find out your options, what you can do to help to protect yourself and your family, go to flyovergold.com. Just fill out your information and someone from Dr. Kirk's team will get a hold of you to set up that free consultation. Or you can call 720-605-3900. Again, it's 720-605-3900. 3900. Do it today. You will not regret it. David, this was so good. Thank you so much.
I hope people heed this. I'm not trying to be feared. You think, oh, well, you got a partnership with her. This is what I'm doing. So if you're listening to this, you're like, I don't know. I'm not. Then don't. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do the same thing next month. Mm-hmm. You know what we did this month? We got everything we could into silver. You know what I'm going to do the month after that? Same thing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do the month after that, the exact same thing. You know what I'm encouraging my mother-in-law to do? The exact same thing. You know what my kids do? The exact same thing. I mean, I think we have an opportunity here to protect ourselves from this. Yep. I'm obviously passionate about this because it's so clear. And then when you read through this, again, text us and get a copy of it. It's like these people are serious. And we need to be serious and say, okay, I'm not defaulting to someone else. So, oh, I'm sure they're going to fix it. They're not going to fix it. You need to fix it because this is up to you. And pray clearly.
Definitely pray.
But we got to make wise choices. I think we're in this together, Flyover family. We didn't do this because we had spare time. We didn't start this show because, oh, I want to be on TV. I could care less about this. My life would be so much easier if we didn't do this. We feel like we're in it. We don't want this thing to go down on our watch. We don't sit there and watch America burn and be like, well, we should have said something.
Nope.
We're saying something. Mm-hmm. And on these issues, when it comes to your health, when it comes to your wealth and these important categories, your kids' education, what's going on in the schools, these are things we have got to lock arms together with because I don't think someone is going to get elected and come save it. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen. It's not the way our system is structured. It's not the way it works. It's up to us to do it and demand them to be better, but they're not going to fix it for us. They're only going to do what we demand them to do. And they're probably only going to, we're only going to demand what we're doing personally. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to make it happen together. And Kirk Elliott is a great teammate. He's in this. He believes in America. He's a patriot. He's a believer. He's in it as much as we are. So this is something we could do to really make a difference and set ourselves up to be, protected from some of this storm. So
now for one of our favorite segments.
One of our favorite times of the week.
We love it.
And fortunately, the world keeps offering up these great things to talk about. We got world leaders of every different place on the mental spectrum making appearances last night. And plenty of things to talk about. And so it's never a dull moment.
What was the deal with Glenn Beck? Do you remember? He used to talk about
In the 90s, he said they would work for a couple of hours in production meetings to come up with 10 to 12 things that were like worthy of talking about. And now he says they come into the production meeting and there's between 90 and 100 and they got to try and narrow it down because there's things that would have been the biggest deal ever are just throwing to the side, you know? And then what makes it even more interesting for this segment we do is we bring on a guest that has years of experience at doing real journalism work, at getting comments, FOIA requests, at submitting documents at research in private before they run their mouth in public, which is completely weird for news media today, where most of them don't think, and they're jealous of someone like a Tucker Carlson that can actually come up with their own questions and talk. And that's what this guest does. Former Fox News producer, Newsmax, Major League Baseball, and the current host of her very own show, the one, the only, Brianna Morello.
Another great introduction. Hello, David and Stacey. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Oh,
welcome, Brianna. Have you seen that over the years where just the amount of news that's coming out that's newsworthy that needs to be covered versus what it was even, you know, 6 years ago, 5 years ago?
Yeah, you know, it's so crazy. So on election night back in 2020, I was super upset when I saw that they were trying to steal the election and it was going to go to Biden, unfortunately. And somebody pulled me in one of the stations I was working at. It was like, this is good for us. And I'm like, what? What do you mean this is good for us? This is good for us. Because now, like when you're in the opposition, it's always a good thing. Like, and that's what you see. So you saw CNN, MSNBC, their ratings have like completely plummeted since, you know, since Joe Biden took over and Trump left the White House. And so ultimately, people kind of cheerlead for that. But it's been crazy. I mean, literally, you would have to do digging and to find a story that was interesting to talk about. And it all just kind of falls into your lap. I mean, yesterday, last night is a great example too. The news cycle just kept changing, whether it was Tucker, Joe Biden, it was just kept flipping so quickly. And so that's the world we live in. They know how to, they know how to master that. And that's the key here.
And I think more and more, you know, we're 269 days from the 2024 election. So, you know, I mean, just the craziness of an election year itself. But, you know, every week we go through your tweets and it is really hard to narrow them down because you have so much information. And we love the way that you always approach it. You approach it from a different direction than most people do with this sarcasm that everybody's like, gosh, I wish I would have thought of saying
and
that.
And clever and smart and factual and well-researched. It's like, oh, there's nobody like it. And in a world where it's sad, though, even let's talk about opposition, there's a lot to talk about. When you look at the kinds of memes that are out there and there's pictures of Joe Biden that are like a crazy look on his face and it's like, hey, who crapped in my pants?
Right.
You know, kind of a thing. And it's funny because it's like, well, that's the kind of stuff he does. And then he doesn't remember what happened 5 minutes ago. So it's I guess you laugh and you got to talk about what's going on, but you also got to get beyond the meme.
Yeah.
To some depth. Mm-hmm. And you kind of cover that whole spectrum of there's real news. And there's just, you got to laugh sometimes so you don't go crazy. And you balance all that out really well.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's not easy, but you got to have some laughs too when you're doing all this because it's honestly, it's a really sad, you know, time for our country. And so anytime you could poke a little fun and put a little humor in it, it's a good thing, but it also gets people engaged, and I think that's important too.
Yeah,
it
is. There are a lot of people engaged.
Flyover family, if you're not yet following Brianna, make sure you go to BriannaMorello.com. Make sure you're following her on X. You'll definitely have better conversations at the water cooler, at your dinner table, you know, in the church, you know, while you're in conversations there, because she's giving you different perspectives than you're probably going to be able to see other places. And it's always really current. I mean, you are right on the news. We've talked about so many times on your show.
So current, a lot of times it's 2 weeks ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, on your show, the Brianna Morello show, you can follow her there as well. You can find her Rumble channel and all of that. Your shows will come out and then, you know, if it ever is going to come out in the mainstream media, it might be a week later, you know, after you've already broke the news. So I love it. I think you're doing such a great job.
All right. So we go to your first week. We all kind of know that they do something to Joe Biden to prop him up. And I always joke that it's like, you know, part like B12 and formaldehyde drip shots or something, you know, to get him out there to do his thing. But, you know, I miss having a president that didn't have to get drugged up in order to make his 7:45 p.m. press conference. They clearly sent him out last night unmedicated.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Talk about that just a moment, because that was one of the biggest things in the news cycle was the liberal media mostly lined up. It was, you almost felt bad for him. He was just like.
And I think that's why that next tweet, we'll just pull it up here too, because I couldn't get rid of it because it's so true. But someone doesn't want Joe Biden running for reelection. That's why they plopped him in front of the camera tonight. I mean, I think that's very apparent.
It'd almost be like taking one of your friends that's like had too many margaritas and then calling in a camera crew and, hey, interview him now. And he's like, I'll tell you what I think about this, you know.
Yeah.
It'd be set up for failure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's really sad to watch. You have this guy who I don't like him. I never have, but you've watched his mental decline for quite some time, and it's pretty much at the final stages now. And unfortunately, the White House isn't really doing much to intervene to help him. His own family really doesn't care. And that's the saddest part in all of this, right? If his wife was actually somebody who truly did care for him, she wouldn't be allowing him to go out there. She would allow him to go and get mental health services and you know, be in a home where people could actually take care of him. Because ultimately, this he should not be in this role as president because he's just not there. Mm-hmm. And I think last night it was put on full display. Special prosecutor literally put in writing that they weren't going to charge him the classified documents case because he's senile. And we all know this, obviously. But it's interesting because, number one, if you're senile, why the heck are you president of the United States? That's usually a disqualifier right off the bat. But we've all seen this coming. The corporate media covered for him. But it seems like now, number one, it's kind of amped up a little bit. And number two, they're overprotecting him. So that means that they know that his polling numbers are garbage. The economy's not doing well. And so they have to push forward another candidate. So they're doing it by allowing him to become a national embarrassment, to get in front of the camera, to look like there's something wrong with him. He can't even keep his eyes open. The guy's squinting all the time. He looks deranged. He's yelling at people like he's got, you know, sadly some type of disease where he's losing his memory. I mean, he's literally screaming at them. And he looks, his face is gone. You could tell in his face, too. He's had multiple plastic surgeries, guys. Like, this isn't somebody who, this is just a natural aging process. He's aged rapidly. But if you look at his face, his face has changed because they've tried their best to pull back his skin so he doesn't look as old as he is. And it's just not going well for him. So I don't think they want him to run for re-election. I think that's pretty clear based on just nobody likes him. And he just looks like an old, deranged man sitting there and yelling at everyone up on the podium.
And it seems like they're all agreeing with him. Colton, if you go to the last tweet there, it says the Department of Injustice sent a 69-year-old grandmother with breast cancer to prison for entering the Capitol on January the 6th. But the president of the United States is too senile to face criminal charges for taking classified documents home and storing them behind his cars. I mean, when they're not, when they're saying that he cannot do that, but he can still be president of the United States.
It puts out there real clear where everybody's like, okay, he's not competent enough to stand trial, but he's competent enough to have the nuclear codes and be the commander in chief. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, you know, as a man, I kind of,
this is his garage.
I kind of judge other men based on their garages a little bit. Mine'll drift a little bit, but you know, when we're walking, say, I like to walk a lot. You go by the neighborhood sometimes. People's garages are up, and it's kind of silent. You know, I kind of walk, and if another man, like, his tools are all out and everything's just organized, I'm kind of like, oh my god.
You get some envy. Or if they're not organized.
It is judging. I look down
but
on them.
But if they are organized.
If it's organized, I'm like, wow.
They're like,
good
okay,
on you.
Wow.
Good on, look, that's a nice garage, my man. and I tell you what, this is in disarray. But everybody saw the pictures of the FBI came in and they took President Trump's stuff and they scattered it on the floor to organize it. But they had to go through a series. It's a gated community. It's a protected home. Inside of a locked room that the FBI and them, he had worked with security agencies to lock him. And that's where President Trump was storing documents. These are like, that's not even an insulated garage door. Like I'm just a redneck in Missouri and my garage doors are more secure than that. That's not even a level one garage door. And it's thrown in there with like a treadmill and some floral decorations from what they would have had on the table earlier.
A ladder, a shovel.
Some stuff that's a broken light that doesn't work. The base of a dog kennel. And then there's secure documents with his notes that has the names of undercover agents and security teams and has all kinds of details written in there. So this is a really interesting thing that at the same time they go after Trump for something and they're like, well, we're going to continue going after Trump and we're going to subpoena him and we're going to indict him. But Joe Biden's not sharp enough to go through that process. So we're not going to, because they know that we won't get a conviction because no jury would come after him because he's not sharp enough to stand trial. Am I stretching this too far?
No, I mean, that's exactly what you're seeing here. So ultimately, they just think that he's not competent to stand trial. So he's not competent to be president of the United States. And that should be the key point in all of this. But Also, he did not have the authority to bring those documents home. So those are classified documents. Only the president of the United States has the authority to unclassify something, and not Joe Biden when he was VP. Yeah, so he shouldn't be doing that in the first place. You have to wonder, too. He had a son who has a drug addiction. You have to wonder, did he intentionally do that? So if Hunter got caught, then he could say, oh, he stumbled upon it in my garage. Whoopsie-doo. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a really scary time. It's the reason why a lot of countries just and intel communities just don't trust us anymore. Because when you have somebody who shouldn't even have their hands on it, which is the vice president of the United States, and they're storing it in their garage, that tells the rest of the world that we're not a serious country, that if you give us intel or you tell us secrets and who your secret agents are or anything, that there's a risk that it might become public information. And so ultimately, yeah, he should be actually charged because he did this when he was, when he did have a little bit of sanity, I guess I should say. But then they went after President Donald Trump. And the picture you cited of the bathroom, too, they used his bathroom, President Trump's bathroom, to place all these boxes. But the boxes weren't originally in there until the FBI took them out and placed them in there. And then they spread all the documents around. Again, that was the FBI, not the president. The president actually had Secret Service come in and look it over and then give him tips on how to secure it even more. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, they all knew what President Donald Trump was doing. They knew he took documents home. That's not unheard of by any administration. As you saw, even, which was strange, VP Mike Pence said that he also took stuff home, but he wasn't charged. So it's clear that this is something that's a common practice, but the only person who actually gets charged in it is President Donald Trump. And so, yeah, there's that photo there. That's he stated that was not how it was. That's not where they were being stored. And so, you know, CNN loves it. They plop that picture all over the place as if the guy's like reading this as toilet paper entertainment. Like, it's disgusting, right?
But it's still gold-plated faucets in a really well-cleaned deal compared to the disarray.
And they're in boxes that actually have lids that are not falling apart. I mean, look at that.
Yeah. It's in complete disarray. That looks like Joe Biden's mind.
Yeah,
compared to how Trump lives his life. Trump lives a clean life. The guy doesn't drink. His kids don't drink. They're like on purpose. Mm-hmm. They're on time. His son runs, the Trump empire. Mm-hmm. Eric Trump is literally the sharpest person I have ever met and humble.
Yep.
And Biden's son is a crackhead. What you know, it's like everything in their life could not possibly be more different.
So what do you think, Brianna? Do you think that obviously you kind of said it in some of your tweets, they're kind of throwing him out there. You know, do you think they're like, okay, he's not going to make it. So do you think Kamala Harris, they're going to try to move her up? Do you think that they're going to try to put somebody else to run? What's your thought on that?
Yeah, well, I think the jig is up on Kamala Harris. Everyone now knows she's a moron and she's only elevated career-wise based on, you know, who she slept with. So unfortunately for her, I think that boat has sailed. To me, it looks like the only person you really run is Michelle Obama because she's the only likable person because the media hasn't beaten her down yet. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately, if you're going to look to slide somebody in last minute who really doesn't have a record, it's going to be her. She has a really, really positive appearance to many in this country. I am not a fan, obviously, but if you're the Democratic Party right now, you're going to be fearful. You're going to be very fearful of what's coming. And I also want to drive home the point that there's like this whole new motivation now based on the immunity ruling that came out earlier this week against President Donald Trump. So the appeals court in D.C. ultimately said that the president of the United States is not immune to prosecution after he leaves the White House. And so what that means is everyone in that Biden administration now, if that ruling sticks, if that decision sticks, that means all of them potentially, if they are not reelected, are up to be prosecuted just like the way they were treating President Donald Trump. And so there's a new motivation to steal the next election because they do not want to be on the other end of this. And they're going to be super fearful of it. So ultimately, they're either going to flip it with another candidate, or if they keep Joe Biden in place, you bet he's going to have to steal that election to win it because that's the only option they have now. And they don't want to go to prison.
No kidding. That's a great point.
So you come back to Mark Cuban, man. He's making a shift in Shark Tank. He liquidated his control of the Mavericks. And then if they could come out like, hey, we have our own, you know, billionaire that understands business, then he'll, you know, still pro-abortion and everything else that you like.
Democratic Party.
On the Democratic ticket. I mean, that kind of gives them their, hey, we got one too. And it gains ground. I just don't see Michelle gaining anything. People that are going to vote for Biden will vote for Michelle. People that hate Biden are going to hate Michelle. I don't know that maybe it helps them some in the African-American vote, but they've, you know, I think
they've kind of lost them at this point.
I think they need to come up with something like, whoa, I didn't see that coming, that all of a sudden shifts the moderate shifts, even Republicans, like, oh, I like it, gets because, you know, Cubans tie in with the NBA, might help them, you know,
with
in
China?
Their, yeah, with China.
Jeez. Yeah, with their China relations.
All right.
Let's talking about international, let's talk a little bit about Putin and Tucker. So how would you rate Tucker's interview with Vladimir Putin 1 through 10 U.S.? That did you get some, what were people saying? Did you get some people responding?
Everyone really loved it. Yeah, if you go down the comments, there was a lot of 10 ratings, 9 ratings there. For me personally, I didn't learn anything, so I was a little disappointed, right? Like, I wanted to know about the labs in Ukraine, and I don't think Tucker asked that question at all. That would be a great question to ask. It was very – it felt – I mean, Putin was kind of started off with a little aggressive by saying, is this an interview? Like, what are we doing here? Mm-hmm. But I think that's just the way to kind of – he keeps his people on edge a little bit. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a big fan of it. It's no shade to Tucker. I think it felt a little safe, and I didn't learn anything really from it besides the fact that Putin potentially wanted to join NATO, and because of Bill Clinton, that didn't happen. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Again, it's the Clintons. They want an evil opponent, and so they vilify Russia all the time. We see it all the time. I thought that was interesting, but otherwise I really didn't learn anything else from the interview. So it was a little discouraging.
The thing that we obviously knew that the elected officials are not really in charge. On a couple of occasions where the elected official was like, you know, like Clinton, would be like, okay, yeah, we can look at making that happen. And then, you know, coming, it's like, who's really in charge? You know, that's really the question.
And that was
know?
Brought up several times. Like, you would have a U.S. president sitting down with Putin and agree to something, and then come back and it's basically, oh, I checked with mommy and she said no.
Yeah, like, who's the mommy, you know, behind the making those decisions?
I'd like to come over for a sleepover. Oh, mom said no. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that level of authority that U.S. presidents have because their handlers are in charge. And that's why I think they're so opposed to Donald Trump, because he is speaking for himself. I don't think he has that apparatus behind him in the same way. Obviously, there's still a swamp and a deep state there. It was interesting for him calling out, though, you know, when he spends the first 30 minutes and goes through every detail of almost 900 years of history, with the religious implications, political implications, geographical implications, and then at the same night, you got Joe Biden up in front, and he's like, well, I got these rosary beads. I don't know.
Yeah, we're a weak country.
It was very stark sad difference. For me. Mm-hmm. I would say often, you know, most politicians couldn't do your job. And I mean, our audience, like whoever you are, whatever you do for a living, forget Joe Biden. I mean, your senator, congressman, most of them are not doers. They're not creators. Putin is sharp. Mm-hmm. And people say you like him, don't like him. He's competent. You know, and in the way that we get our elected officials by Republicans going to chicken dinners and, well, I'll tell you, we'll get rid of this abortion. And like the way that we get them is the equivalent of having the NFL. But the only way you can get an NFL coach is they've spent 12 years in the ballet. Mm-hmm. And then the best ballerinas become the
that
coaches.
Makes no sense. Yeah.
It's like, why are the leaders the worst among them? You know, like that's what our country is. It's an NFL team with a head coach that got there because they were really good at ballet. There's no connection between what the players
elected,
do.
So everybody already knows that.
I mean, forget Biden. All the way down through. Yeah. You want to talk Corning from Texas. You want to talk about, I don't care, all of them. And so when you look at, like, could you imagine a top journalist from Russia coming and sitting down for 2 hours with Biden?
Well, it wouldn't have happened, first of all. He can't even do a press conference.
They wouldn't allow it.
And it was all the cards were on the table and they all got flipped over for the world to see. And we were exposed. Putin comes on. He says, you know, when Biden came into office, 45% of all of our trade was done in U.S. dollars. And now it's 13%. It's like, wow.
That's scary.
Well, anybody that is not moving out of the U.S. dollar and into silver and into something stable, because our stock market's vulnerable, our dollar's vulnerable, and then we just okayed another $60 billion to go to Ukraine that we don't even have. He's like, you guys have your own problems. You got a border issue. You have $33 trillion in debt. It seems like America has some concerns they should be focused on internally.
Let's go to that, because you had a tweet about that. You had the new bipartisan invasion bill provides $60 billion so Ukraine can protect their border, $14 billion for Israel, and $20 billion allegedly for our border. Keep in mind, lots of that money will not go towards our border security. It will likely go towards fueling this invasion, not stopping it. So obviously the bill didn't go through, but there was a bill that went through. And I think people need to be aware of that. Let's talk a little bit about that and what happened with this bill.
It seems like they had that worked out from the jump.
Yeah. Yeah. So HR 2 passed in the House, and that's one of the bills that did pass regarding immigration. And ultimately, it was just a bill that was going to defund the NGOs, which are ultimately, if you talk to people at the border, they say the NGOs are our biggest problems. And I always tell people these are groups, these are non-government groups that pretend to be associated with the church. They pretend to be Christian and Catholic organizations, but they're really not. They are liberals who are just disguising themselves as religious organizations mm-hmm. that are helping migrants break into our country and to teaching them, literally teaching them how to get into the United States and what to say and what to do to try to trick our immigration system. So they are not religious groups. And I always remind people of that. But ultimately, when you talk to people, they say that those are the groups that you have to defund, because right now our federal taxpayer dollars are going to that. The UN's also funding them. And then they're getting a lot of fundraising things from other. And actually, Border Hawk actually sent me a little flyer that they got that a church in Long Island is actually helping migrants as well, illegal migrants as well. And they're asking for donations so they could bring them in too. So it's a huge issue. The number one issue, though, is to defund the NGO groups. And that's what HR 2 was supposed to do. And so the Senate didn't want to take it up on a vote, but then they created their own bill, which was honestly a railroad job from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And it's meant to create this illusion like Joe Biden and the Democrats are looking to create some form of border security. And this is why it was just so tragic to see Republicans pretend like this was a legitimate piece of legislation that they were working on. Ultimately, there are books, and we had John Zdrosny on my show to talk about what laws we currently have on the books that have passed that you could apply to create security. And he went through them all. And ultimately, those are the ones that you could use to control the border. And we know it because we saw President Donald Trump do it when he was in power. And so when the president of the United States says, I'm trying to fix the issue, but Republicans won't work with me. And then you have a small group of Republicans who are like, oh, yeah, let's work with them. Mm-hmm. No, you don't have to work with them. We already have the laws on the books. They're not enforcing them. They're not incarcerating people. They're not kicking people out. We see it with gangs and with terrorists and all these other people who are getting into our country. And they're refusing to do so. And you're just giving them a win in the media world by sitting there and saying that we're going to work with them and that we support this. So it's all just a PR stunt to trick the American people.
It seems like the Democrats win on everything because they come out with this bill that's ridiculous. And so and so they could say, hey, we tried a nonpartisan bill. The Republicans wouldn't work with us. And so then they just pull the border part out and then they get what they wanted anyway, which was their, you know, Ukraine funding. So they kind of get everything. Because they can campaign the next several months. I'm like, hey, we would have secured the border. The Republicans, you know, voted it down. And then they still kind of get to keep running our debt up with, you know, being unchecked. It's a good time to be a Democrat.
It is. Well, and then if you commit any crimes, you don't have to worry about there being any accountability. So that's another good perk of being a Dem these days.
So true. In your show, you've had some big interviews. You had Owen Schroyer on this week.
There's like 150,000 views on your Rumble channel with Owen Schroyer.
Yeah, that was a really big interview.
That is amazing. We'll put a link to that down below. And then the one you mentioned earlier there on the border, we'll put both of those links down below this show. People can find that.
Yeah, well, thank you. And I just want to also mention, too, we filed a lawsuit against the VA, as we were talking about here. We submitted a FOIA request. The VA was refusing to comply with it. And so now I'm actually suing the VA. So we announced that yesterday on the show. And ultimately, we're looking to get documents, internal communications of J6ers who are also veterans who had their benefits yanked. And so that's the goal of all of this. And so if you go to BriannaMorello.com right now, we actually just set up a donations page as well. So if you want to keep like funding work like that, where we create government transparency, you could do that by becoming a like monthly contributor to our causes, because we're really pushing and hoping to be able to accomplish this. And so stuff like that's really important to help fund us and to make sure that we can keep doing this, because it's really important to go after the government because they don't want transparency and they're going after innocent Americans. So we need to push back.
Okay, let's make sure people know how to get there. I think producer Colton's got that up on the screen, but they go to BriannaMorello.com.
And that's BriannaMorello.com. And then scroll down towards the bottom. When you get down there, you can choose the amount. You can either do one time or you could do a monthly. And then you can choose the amount. You could put a custom amount in or choose the amount. So
I'm going to put this in context. You're a young single girl that left a major network like Fox News. Yeah. And you're doing this on your own, just like Tucker. And that's why the other media outlets are so mad, because like, I got to work for this machine. You're independent, completely doing this on your own, and you're suing the VA. because they won't give you the information that you legally submitted as a FOIA request. But you have to pay attorneys. You got to pay things to get that submitted. So you're incurring the cost to hold power accountable. This is pretty unbelievable. You're a gangster.
Gangster.
Well, thank you. Well, the thing about it too is, and when we win, because we will win, because we're legally, they're legally obligated to comply with our request. It's nothing that's like unheard of. They just don't want to do it. So now that we have to take them to court, I will, in, you know, once they rule in our favor, which will happen, ask for them to reimburse me for my legal fees. So likely they will have to do so. The judges usually rule in the plaintiff's favor in those cases. So they'll have to reimburse me for it. But it's the hours of research. It's the, I'm going to have to start hiring researchers to go through stuff for me. And even, so when they do comply with these FOIA requests after you take them through a legal court battle, likely what's going to happen is they're going to dump thousands of pages on me. And so I'm going to need help with people and bringing people on board to kind of go through it all and sift through it. So that's another reason why we are looking for donors. But also, it's not going to stop at the VA. Next week, we're also going to file another lawsuit against another federal government agency who's also being very sneaky. And they're going after J6ers. They're going after journalists. And so they've ignored my FOIA request as well. So we're just going to keep suing them. And I don't really, I mean, the goal is to sue all federal agencies at this point, because they fear the independent journalists who are going out there and asking them these questions. And they just think that we don't have the funding or the legal help to go after them and to get these documents. And so my goal is just to sue them until they comply.
Well, it's why Fox News is busy with Jesse Waters and this is my world and look at my hair. And I had a tarot card reading witch on my show. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you're actually doing the real deal.
Yeah. And the funny part is he goes and he cites other reporters who are doing the real deal when he can, when he's allowed to, by the corporate, you know, machine that is Fox Corp. But he's a moron. But that's why they, you know, bumped him up from producer to on air to giving him his own daily talk show, because he's one of the many who comply. Yeah. So they like that over there.
He'll play along. Put me on TV. I'll do what you say. I'll tap dance for the man. Mm-hmm. Not you.
Nope. Brianna Murillo. Again, Flyover family, go to briannamurillo.com, BriannaMorello. Make sure you're following her on X as well as on Rumble. And if you have some extra money and you want to donate, this would be a great cause.
She's putting it to good use.
Yes, she is. Thanks again for your time, Brianna. We really appreciate it.
All right, Flyover family. My name is Avery Whited. I'm the daughter of David and Stacy. I'm just moving in, so I had to get an order from my pillow and get the things that I needed. So let's look inside. I got some my pillow towels, kitchen towels. I got some of their Giza sheets. Now, I've never actually been able to use them, but I've heard amazing things from my parents about them. And last but not least, something for Charlie. Hey, dog bed. All right, Charlie, let's go put this in the dryer and flip it up for you. Come on, buddy. Nice and warm and fluffy. Perfect for my little guy. Come here, Charlie. All right, if you want to get your own products, go to mypillow.com and use promo code FLYOVER to save up to 66% off.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan, he's back. The My Pillow guy.
And you're looking good.
Still feeling good.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever, My Pillow 2.0. When I invented My Pillow, it had everything you'd ever want in a pillow. Well, now there's new technology that makes it even better. My Pillow 2.0 has my patented fill combined with a cooling fabric with temperature regulating thread. My Pillow 2.0 is truly the next generation of My Pillow.
The best sleep just got even better. Whether you have a MyPillow or not, you need to get the brand new MyPillow 2.0. Call or go to MyPillow.com now. Use your promo code, and for a limited time when you buy one, you'll get a second one absolutely free.
You're sleeping even better.
And cooler, too.
And you're looking good.
Feeling good.
I knew you would.
Visit MyPillow.com.
You know, David and I, for the last few years, have been really focusing on our health. We're like, okay, God gave us this temple and we only have one body. It's not a dress rehearsal. It's our one time here on earth. And it's like, okay, God, how can we take care of it to the best of our ability? And so, you know, we looked at hormones. We've looked at our weight, you know, like every aspect of it. And then we've also looked at, okay, what are some doctors that are making a difference? Not just people that are prescribing, but people that are truly like praying, God, help me to be a physician for your body of Christ. And so today I'm so excited to have on the show Dr. Troy Spurrell.
Hey guys, I love the intro with the clapping and stuff. It's great.
It's too important to leave to chance. There's people like yourself, like you literally save lives, but you probably don't get applause.
Right.
You know, when you walk in the room, you know, you got to fix that. You know, you can, there's rappers that get applause. There's, you know, athletes that get applause. And I don't know when I'm at, when my life's on the line, I'm not calling Kirk Cousins or somebody, you know, I'm calling you. So if anybody deserves applause, it's you.
Well, I appreciate it. I've actually asked my staff to applaud when I walk in, but it didn't go over well. Yeah.
Well, the other challenge too is in your environment. It's like the Pro Bowl. You know, you're not like the, you know, a lot of doctors. I'm a dentist and this is my office or whatever. Yep. You surround yourself with all stars in all different areas of medicine, all working together. Mm-hmm. So in another environment, you might be a bigger deal, but you're just sort of a big fish with a bunch of other big fish in your space. So it kind of keeps your ego in check too, probably.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have a saying here, excellence without ego. And so that's what comes through our door. We want to be servants and to have the ability to serve others. You have to, especially in healthcare, when you can combine that with a good brain, man, that goes a long way to serving and helping people. So that's a big part of it.
And you're doing a great job of it. You know, David and I, we flew out the latter part of 2023 to come to your practice to meet with your other, you know, staff members, as well as, you know, meet with you and kind of learn what we can do to help to improve our health. We've had some issues ourselves for quite a few years that we're like, okay, we need to get this figured out. I'm actually flying back here in February to see you again. Yeah. And you have a great staff. I mean, when you walk into that environment, you can feel like people really do care. You're trying to make a difference and help people to be able to feel better, but not just to survive, but to be able to thrive in their life.
Yeah, that's the goal, because I wrote this on my wall, but to become a worldwide agent of change in the fields of healthcare and human potential. I believe when you increase your human potential, then you will be a servant of God. You can help do what you were meant to do. Keeping us unhealthy is the enemy's way to not allow us to serve God. I love that picture. That was one of my favorite podcasts. You guys got to. I got the experts using our room here doing a podcast in my office. So
that was really cool. We loved it with Liz Crokin. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Us surrounded by heroes, because we sought you out, you know, and you know, pursued, you know, this relationship. You're in a kind of a small fraternity. The tide's turning, but medicine for the last 30, 40, 50, I don't know, you probably know the timeline, has not been this way. It's more of you walk in, I'm checking some boxes, and you're leaving with a prescription, period. Mm-hmm. And that's the goal. And not that you can't do that, and you have access to everything that everyone else would, but the goal is to really find out what's wrong, not knock out the light, the check engine light, mm-hmm. you know, so yes. You don't have that annoying light glaring at you. It's like literally to fix the root problem.
Yeah, we now know definitively that when we use drugs as a first line, front line therapy, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Because then after a while, you're on another drug for the side effects of the drugs and the other next side effect. And when my grandparents and great grandparents were alive, I remember my great grandmother talking with her. She went on her first medication at the age of 96.
Wow.
She was not on any medications. So keep in mind, she also did a little shot of scotch every night for about 40 years, but she wasn't on any meds at all. And so now I'm seeing people that are put on meds right out of the gates, and it's just mm-hmm. one after another. And so we know it's not working. I'm not against medications. They can save lives, especially when appropriately placed in emergency medicine, but it's just not healthy. It's not what we're meant to be doing. So it's completely backwards, our healthcare system.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I think over the last few years, especially since 2020, people have become more aware of the pharmaceutical industry and kind of what's going on there, and probably a lot more leery of it. And there was an interview that came out with Tucker Carlson and Casey Means, actually talking about advertisements, what's going on with Big Pharma with that, and kind of how people are playing into that. And I want to play it for you because I would love to get your take on this.
That pharma buys TV spots not to convince people to ask for specific drugs from their physicians, but to subvert the news business?
This is an open secret working for pharma.
Well, I'd never even thought of that.
This is an open secret. The kind of silly ads you see between the news breaks, the points of that is not, it's marginally to impact the customer. But the pharma's already got that. They've already bought off the doctors. They're good on that. No, this is an open secret. The news ad spending from pharma is a public relation lobbying tactic, essentially, to buy off the news. The news is a refer. They're not investigating pharma.
I've noticed.
The news has become basically a referee that you were a terrible anti-science Luddite for asking why, you know, the shots that we require our kids to get that fundamentally by their own advertising change the immune system of that child for life, why it's gone from 20 to 70. To even ask that question, the news referees that and calls you anti-science when the two largest vaccine makers in the country are literally criminal enterprises. GlaxoSmithKline and Merck, in the past 5 years, has settled two of the largest criminal penalties in American corporate history for bribing and misleading, bribing doctors and misleading, creating misleading research, who are the two largest vaccine makers. So you literally have the media playing referee that you can't even ask a question. Parent is actually,
if you have a vaccine injury, and many people
have,
including some I know very well, even a profound vaccine injury, you're not allowed to complain about it.
No. You're anti-science.
Even if it can be shown, this is a vaccine injury.
The media plays referee because they're funded. But so on all levels, right?
Wow.
On all levels. And
I'm
not
very dark, Callie means.
Well, I think it's hopefully empowering. I think this is why we have an opportunity here, Tucker. Like Ozempic, this is not some like new, like, you know, it's kind of this funny thing. Like, oh, you know, it's kind of vain. I can lose weight. This is the reason the stocks are going up is because this is going to be a lot of government money. This is going to be the highest funded drug from the U.S. taxpayer in history. We've got a society. When are we going to say, let's go another direction? Why are we trusting pharma now when they've been completely acting to garner no trust?
Such a great question. So Callie Means and Tucker there. Dr. Spurrell, what's your thought? Where do you take this and where do we go from here?
I'm saying let's go another direction. I've been saying it for 25 years, but now I'm screaming it. And I love this because this is the problem. He nailed it. Now he is an insider. So he has worked within the industry. He's coming out and letting us know this is it. This is what's happening. And this is the problem. And I'm going to say it this way. It's not just the pharmaceutical industry. It's lobbyists for all kinds of things in Washington, D.C. Basically, what he's saying is the media won't actually report the damaging news because they're compromised. They're going to lose part of their budget. So they are making the decision to not report the truth of injuries because it will cost them money. Now I can't get into details, but I'm part of a study right now with a university that is using a natural product that's actually having some early success with cancer. Here's the problem. It costs $30 a month to the patient and it can't be patented. So if this ends up being very much of a good resource for cancer, then it ends up costing the hospitals hundreds of millions of dollars in lost revenue because they make a lot of money from treating cancer.
Wow, that's dark.
Jeez.
It's very dark. So this doctor he asked me to become involved because he wants to fly under the radar, which maybe we will when it comes, if it ends up being a good outcome. But if he doesn't do that, if he ends up taking the research further down, it'll eventually get squashed by someone who's making a financial decision.
So yeah. It has nothing to do with health. It has everything to do with money. No.
I encourage people to search out and find that whole interview there with Tucker. Actually, all of his stuff. He has the most, because he's independent, he has the most clear-cut conversations because he's not brought to you by anybody. Mm-hmm. And so that's interesting. One of the things that jumped out at me there, they were talking about one of the largest expenditures for people that are government-assisted budgets with WIC, food stamps, these things, is spending it on Coca-Cola soda. One of the largest consumers of the soda are people on with government money. The NAACP is a registered lobbyist for Big Pharma. And so treating diabetes caused by a government-funded diet, it's like, it's very intentional, you know, how that flows. Like you think, why would the NAACP do that? Because it's like, well, if you speak out against it, we have a whole mechanism that's going to come on and call you a racist for speaking out against pharma. It's like, how did that get connected there? And you look at the numbers and that we're 6% of the world's population, but we consume 85% of the pharmaceutical drugs. Yep. It's like, is there something wrong with the water in America? And that would even make sense if we were like the spitting image of health, you know, but if you go, like we've, you know, gone went to Rome and visited, you know, the Colosseum and did all this stuff. You can just sit there and you can look at like, okay, European, American. Yes. And we don't, and it's not because they're shredded. It's not because they walk around with bright eyes and they're strong. It's because they're broken. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, they limp and they hobble and they need the scooter and they, you know, it's those are the Americans. And that's a sad thing to say. I don't know how we dominate the Olympics and our regular citizens can barely, you know, climb the stairs when you're at a tourist location, but it's the truth.
Yeah. 100% it's the truth. The whole system is compromised. And so we've seen this. I was asked on another interview, what would I do? Because I have a very clear vision of a new healthcare system, a new healthcare model, and it involves God and involves the first step, which is the first step would be to go to the church. Our churches have to step up and start doing healing, deliverance, and ministries. They need to get on board with that. Then when it comes to treating the flesh, our healthcare system needs to change. The first thing I said I would do is I would fire the entire FDA department, the Food and Drug Administration, because our food should be our medicine. Our food should be part of the solution, not part of the problem. It just infuriates me that I have patients who eat a diet over here in the United States and they're sick, and they eat the same food over in Europe and they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
We
crazy.
See that all the time. The quality of our food is compromised. In the drug industry, you just heard on that interview, one of the big problems that they have with just how much we're compromised. And I did a podcast early on into COVID because a lot of stuff was happening. And my wife, who worked in the hospital, we were trying to discern through everything. And so I was trying to discern through what was truly evil and what was not. And I landed on a quote, and the quote was, "Don't ascribe to malice or evil what can be ascribed to incompetence and poor incentives," meaning, not everyone is evil. Not everyone in the hospital system was evil,
right?
Even though what they were doing was, there's a few people who put forth some guidelines and they may have evil intentions or greedy intentions, but there's a lot of incompetence from doctors and nurses not reading the research or not being open enough to investigate people like Peter McCullough and Pierre Corey and people who are speaking out. And there's a lot of poor incentives. And that's the same thing with the vaccine and drug industries right now. A lot of these media outlets get incentivized to just stick with their partnership, even though it's hurting people. And so that's a big part of what's going on. And we need to actually bring forth the people who are truly doing evil, and then also identify.
Afuera. Yeah. Afuera. Exactly. Afuera. If you guys see the screen, the new president of Argentina, he's just going through government agencies. Gone. I think he got
Ministry
rid of
Ministry of Science, Technology, and Innovation.
Gone. Afuera. And that's really the answer to a lot of this stuff. He got rid of 5,000 government employees day one, and they're doing better. It's like Elon Musk. We took on Twitter, whether people like or hate Elon Musk. Twitter did better when they got rid of, I think, 80% of their staff. Yeah. I think he did 50 initially. With 80% gone, they're doing better. Mm-hmm. It just shows you how much waste and junk there is in that system, and every agency, you know, is that way. So
I love the vision that God has given you, Dr. Troy. I really do believe for such a time as this, and it's exciting because everybody knows something has to change. It's just like, what are the answers? And I believe that God has given you answers to help to make that change. So Flyover family, you can go to officialsynapse.com, officialsynapse.com. When you get there, there's a place that actually talks about all of the conditions that, and you guys do more, but a lot of the conditions you guys can help with. I think that's really important because, you know, I think sometimes we get to the place where we maybe feel hopeless, like nobody can help me with that, or that's been something I've struggled with forever. I think I'm just going to have to live with this. And that's not true. You guys are helping a lot of people. And for you, it's like, you know, my restless leg syndrome, the things I've struggled with, I'm not going to even call it my restless leg syndrome. The things I've struggled with restless leg syndrome, I'm going to call it my own. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. But the things I've struggled with, you know, I just thought I'm just going to have to live with that. And for you, it was like, it's not an easy fix for everyone, but you're like, I've got answers and I can help you with this. That was so encouraging because there were so many nights that, you know, we would go out to dinner or, you know, we would be driving in a car. I'd be in so much pain and we'd be at dinner and we'd have to leave early because I'm like, I can't stand it. I'm in so much pain. And there was so much hope when you got there. But I think it's important that people realize we have to take care of our body. You know, yes. It's like, I think a lot of times women, especially, like, they take care of their children, they take care of their spouse, but they don't really take care of themselves. And we really have to look at this thing. I need to take care of myself so I can be healthy and live this long life and do the things that God's calling me to do.
Absolutely. And a lot of the programs that we run here are the foundation for what I believe is going to be the next level of healthcare. And we have to undo a lot of the damage that's been done. Number one, I'm on the train, the Trump train of we got to get him back in town, because when he talks about draining the swamp, it's not just Washington, D.C. It is the lobbyists. It is all of the Republicans and Democrats that are putting themselves first instead of the people. And then we need to restore. I'm a huge Kim Clement guy, and he talks about Trump's second term and a woman coming in to help halfway through the restoration phase. I love hearing that word, restoration phase, because that means we went through something as a country and now we're being restored. So God is,
need that.
Yes, we need that. God is revealing all this stuff. All these people are coming forward. Now it's our time and it's our turn to step up and start to do what God intended us to do. But we've got to be healthy. Mm-hmm. We've got to be the best version of ourselves to do that. And all of us have these gifts that have been just squashed. And I'm just going to put it out there that people are going to start recognizing their gifts. People are going to start being lifted up in their gifts. And then we're going to have spiritineurs, people who have the heart of God, the Christ consciousness, that are going to be pouring their finances into things that help build what God wants it to be, not the opposite. Because all of the people that have been doing the enemy's work, they're making a lot of money because they're not honest.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But God is more powerful than that. We're going to see a huge shift. So it's not just Trump cleaning up the politics. It's a new healthcare system. It's one that feeds us and gives God the glory. It's a new economic system. It's a new everything. We have an opportunity here, but people have to be healthy. They have to be the healthiest version of themselves, and they have to put some work into it. And they have to, most importantly, listen to God's word. What is God saying to you? And then know your identity in Christ and just do it.
That is so good. So Flyover family, you go to officialsynapse.com. You can do a free discovery call. So fill out the information and then you can get on a call to find out what are your options. How can you improve your health? What does that look like for you? Because it's going to be different for each person because all of us have different issues. And so Dr. Spurl has a team there that can help you to walk through that process. So go to officialsynapse.com. Make sure you fill out your information for that free discovery call and find out your options. Do it today. You won't regret it. Dr. Spurl, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
My name is Dr. Troy Spurl, and I'm CEO and founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing. While we're a full functional medicine clinic where we're looking at the entirety of the body, we have nurse practitioners, chiropractors, acupuncture,
We do functional restoration with BTL equipment, and we have medical doctors on staff as well to help with PRP and other injections for pain relief. We do a multitude of services, labs, nutrition counseling, health coaching, we've got it all. We are constantly being asked about how to improve their immune system. How do I go through a flu season without getting a cold? I myself have gone 30 years without missing a day of work, never gotten a cold, never been sick. And we just show our patients how to do that. We answer those questions. Why am I tired? Why do I have pain? So if you're watching this right now, just go to our website, officialsynapse.com, click on free discovery call, answer three simple questions, and we'll get you started. One more thing, we are the highest rated, most reviewed functional medicine clinic in all of Minnesota.
This is a crazy time to be alive.
Well, just in our lifetime, used to be where you'd hear your grandparents talk about how cheap gas was and stuff, and it was 75 years before, 50 years, you know, before.
And so we've seen a lot of changes since Biden took office. $700 more a month
than what you needed in January of 21 when he took office.
You might hear these kind of things and think, oh, that's overwhelming. I can't control the government. I can't control what they're doing. I can't control the spending. But we can take care of ourselves.
You want to make sure that you're buying bullion from somebody that you can trust and someone that does not charge you a commission when you go to sell.
If there's gonna be a commission, have it on the front end, not the back end when it skyrockets and now you're like, oh my gosh, look at this big, huge commission I gotta pay because it's on the back end before I sell it.
You can buy an ounce of silver for $23. So this is something everybody can get into. And if silver goes to $50, if it goes to $75, if it goes to $100, all of those profits are yours. And that's happening while the dollar is buying less and less at the actual grocery store.
So you can go to flyovergold.com, fill out your information. When you do that, someone from Dr. Kirk's team will get a hold of you to set up a free consultation. It doesn't cost you any money whatsoever. Or to do the same thing, you can just call 720-605-3900. For more great content, go to flyoverconservatives.com.